Would the congregation please be seated? In the name of Christ, I bid each and every one of you a warm yet solemn greeting as we gather here in St. Canice's Cathedral to hallow the memory of our well-beloved in Christ, Sylvia Harper, affectionately known to many of us simply as Auntie Sylvia. Such was the affection and the esteem in which she was held by the whole community. We are here, as I say, to hallow her memory, to commend her soul into the sure keeping of our loving Heavenly Father, and to lay her mortal remains to rest. We pray for all the Harper family, and especially those closest to Sylvia, and who will mourn her the most. Joining me here today are my friends and colleagues, the Reverend Elaine Murray, the Bishop's Vicar, and conducting the service today, the Reverend Mark Forsyth of the Carlow Kilkenny Methodist Church. You are all very welcome indeed.
Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." At this time of sadness, we turn to God, believing that he is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. We believe that his steadfast love never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. On behalf of the Harper family, I'd just like to thank you all for coming here today and supporting them through this time of sadness. There will be more thank yous later on. Let me remind you that after the blessing, the burial will take place in St. Kieran's Cemetery. And after that, the family would like to invite everyone to the Presbyterian Church Hall for refreshments. This service is a time for reflection and thanksgiving, as we each remember Sylvia in our own way. And so let us have a moment of quietness before we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to be with us in a special way. We pray for the family gathered here today, and also for those who knew and loved Sylvia, but could not be here for whatever reason. May they know your comfort and your peace. Amen. Well, all the hymns today were picked by Sylvia, and our opening hymn was her favorite. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land, let us praise God."
Thank you.
may be seated. Let us pray. God, our comforter, you are our refuge and strength, a helper close at hand in times of trouble. Help us so to hear your word, that our fear may be dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. May your Holy Spirit lift us above our sorrow to the peace and light of your constant love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, we meet in this solemn moment to worship God, to give thanks for the life of Sylvia, to commend her to God's loving and faithful care, and to pray for all who mourn. In the presence of death, Christ offers us sure ground for hope and confidence and even for joy, because he shared our human life and death, was raised again triumphant, and lives forevermore. In him, his people find eternal life. Let us then hear the words of Holy Scripture, that from them we may draw comfort and strength. Could the readers now come forward and bring the readings?
The first reading today is taken from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord the whole life long.
The second reading is from John 14, verses 1 to 7. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going there to prepare a place for you. After I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father too, but now you do know him and you have seen him."
Reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within the temple. And one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all our hearts. Amen.
We sing our next hymn. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Thank you. All of you have a shared memory of my mother. Mrs. Harper to some of you, Sylvia to some of you, Auntie Sylvia, Mother to me, Granny, Nana. I would like to read two short poems by William Butler Yeats, both of which I think in a way capture certain elements of Mother. The first one is entitled, When You Are Old. When you are old and grey and full of sleep, and nodding by the fire, take down this book and slowly read and dream of the soft look your eyes once had and of their shadows deep. How many loved your moments of glad grace and loved your beauty with love false or true. But one man loved the pilgrim soul in you and loved the sorrows of your changing face. And bending down beside the glowing bars, murmur a little sadly how love fled and paced upon the mountains overhead and hid his face amid a crowd of stars. The second poem has the title of The Song of the Old Mother. I rise in the dawn and I kneel and blow till the seed of the fire flicker and glow. And then I must scrub and bake and sweep till stars are beginning to blink and peep. And the young lie long and dream in their bed of the matchings of ribbons for bosom and head. And their day goes over in idleness, and they sigh if the wind but lift a tress, while I must work because I am old, and the seed of the fire gets feeble and cold. Thank you.
Sylvia was born Sylvia McDonough on the 27th of November 1921 in Carlow. She went to school in Wesley College and must have got on well because she was awarded a good conduct medal based on the votes of her fellow students. Her father was a bank manager and they moved home a few times and at one point came to live in Goran. The story goes that Aunt Edie came to visit Sylvia in Goran, escorted by her brother Robert. In expectation of the visitors, Sylvia had collected blackberries and had made a blackberry pie for tea. It must have done the trick. For in due course, Robert and Sylvia were married. Bob always said of Sylvia's cooking, "The way to a man's heart is through his stomach." And Sylvia didn't disappoint. She was a marvellous cook and baker, and to the very end maintained her interest in food and menus. Only last Thursday she made marmalade and distributed around the family. When I would visit, there would be freshly made scones or biscuits waiting for me. And then there was, of course, her famous brown bread. Adrian told me the story that when he got married, a friend of his asked him how married life was. Just goes to show how men think. Because Adrian replied that things were great, but Rosemary's brown bread was a little different to his mother's. Sometime after, Adrian visited Sylvia and returned home with two of her fresh loaves. This same friend came around later in the day and while tucking into the bread, remarked to Rosemary, that he didn't care what Adrian said. Her bread was delicious. Whenever Sylvia felt that her children were getting a bit prosperous and uppity, she liked to remind them that she started married life with one cow, one pig, and one field. The year was 1943, during the war, and times were hard. There was little money, and unlike today, nothing was wasted. But those difficult times were to give Sylvia and Bob compassion and kindness to those less fortunate than themselves. For example, when Leslie and Niall were in Kilkenny College, they came home on a Sunday, and Sylvia would gather up boys who were unable to get home and bring them out to Cantwell's Court too. Another example of her kindness was her use of the telephone. She had a list of people who she rang regularly, those who were sick or bereaved or living on their own. And she made the family home the center of their lives together. They raised four sons, and the arrival of two daughters was seen as a potentially civilizing influence, perhaps not entirely fulfilled. But the boys were encouraged to make allowances and to indulge their little sisters. Sylvia loved her garden. It caused her almost physical pain when cattle broke in and trampled her lawn. And of course, there was the time that the apple tree fell down in the storm. She had an impressive array of houseplants, and strict watering instructions were left when she went on holidays. Before she lost her sight, she loved to sew and knit and make soft toys, and her living room at times resembled a factory workshop as she assembled and finished snake draft excluders for sale. Sylvia and Bob shared 47 happy years together in Cantwell's Court, until Bob passed away in December 1990. She must have still felt a connection to him, because when her wedding anniversary came around, she would say, "Bob and I are so many years married," rather than "Bob and I would have been so many years married." After Bob died, her grandchildren became the main focus of Sylvia's life. She loved them all unreservedly, and delighted in telling her friends of their achievements and adventures, large and small. Jonathan crewed a yacht across the South Pacific for delivery in Europe. She would tell her friends that the yacht's progress could be followed on the web, though neither she nor they had much idea of what the web was at the time. When Simon broke his arm in New Zealand, she was making long phone calls to his aunts in Dublin, discussing the seriousness of the injury and the progress of his recovery. Edwin was put to tracking down contacts from his trip to New Zealand in the 70s to see if by chance any of them lived near the hospital and might be able to visit. Everyone had their job. Granddaughters earned extra brownie points when great-grandchildren appeared on the scene. Their early development and weight gains were broadcast throughout the family circle and beyond. When Jill received her Gold Gashka Award and met President McAleese, her gran was so proud. Just recently, Sylvia met the president herself. And nobody in the family would have been surprised if she had asked the president if she had remembered meeting Jill. Whenever I visited Sylvia, she always had some news about the grandchildren. Somebody had won a photography competition at school, or made a CD, or got a place in college. Sylvia was great for remembering things, especially birthdays and anniversaries. She had an eye for detail, and she recently confided with me that she would have liked to be a detective. She was always full of surprises. After her sight failed, she found a new social outlet in the local branch of the National Council for the Blind. It caused no end of amusement in the family, when she would talk about going on sightseeing trips with the blind. She also referred with pleasure to the visits from the blind social worker. Sylvia was always a bit ahead of her time. Whether it was driving a car, getting her hair permed, installing central heating, putting in a telephone, or owning a television, she always seemed to be the first in her generation to try something new. She even had an SSIA due to mature tomorrow, and she had it already well spent in her mind and mostly on other people. Sylvie had many interests. Apart from her immediate circumstances of family and farm, she maintained a close connection to this cathedral, an official friend of St. Canice's for 25 years, and she greatly enjoyed attending the meetings. In latter years, she thoroughly enjoyed the young at heart and was very appreciative of those who opened their homes to this group once a month. She was also a long-standing member of Mother's Union and NWA. Amongst her friends, she had a special place in her heart for the ladies. Now, I don't know who the ladies are, but I'm sure you do. This group of ladies shared an interest in handcrafts. When Sylvia lost her sight, they continued to meet for afternoon tea, and she took much pleasure in these outings. When she went on holidays, she would put careful thought into choosing presents to be brought back to the ladies. Sylvia Harper loved life and made a huge contribution to the lives of others, but she also had a faith that stretched beyond this life. She was a member of the Methodist Church all her adult life, indeed, the longest serving member of Kilkenny Methodist Church. And she was always interested in the work of the local congregation and the wider church. She served for a period as circuit steward, and until her sight went, she read her Bible every night. Just Sunday week ago, she came up to me after the service and she said, "Have you got anyone for synod yet? Because I'll go." She loved the old traditional hymns, but was also willing to make the adjustment to the newer worship songs. She used to say that nobody played the drums like her grandson Graham. She was an ecumenist before we knew the meaning of the word, and through her friends she crossed the religious divide in an era when this was uncommon. For many years she kept in touch with the nuns who had nursed her own mother. And I have on file an order of service for an ecumenical baptism which she attended and kept for me especially in case it might be useful to me in the future. Always thinking of others. For the past few years, Sylvia had an aneurysm which could not be repaired and could have burst at any time. It would have been fully understandable if she had become depressed over this, but Sylvia didn't have time for self-pity. She was too busy throwing herself into her family and her friends and her varied interests. She wasn't afraid of death, because she knew that death was not the end. She knew that there was nothing depressing about leaving this earth to be with Christ. Sylvia personified the heart of the Christian faith, serving God and others in this life, while at the same time living in sure and certain hope of the life to come. And so we will all remember Sylvia in our own way. I'm sure we all have our own stories and our own memories of her. Just over 3 weeks ago, I stood with her in St. Kieran's Cemetery after the burial of Desmond Wiley, and she showed me Bob's grave and the space beside it for herself. Little did I know that I would be returning to that same spot today, and it's hard to come to terms with. But we give thanks to God for Sylvia's life, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Amen. We sing together the next hymn, "Shall We Gather at the River?"
Thank you.
may be seated. Let us pray. Glory and thanks be given to you, Almighty God, our Father, because in your great love for the world, you gave your Son to be our Savior. He lived our life, bore our griefs, and died our death upon the cross. We thank you that you have brought him back from death with power and great glory, and that he has conquered sin and death, and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. We praise you for the great company of the faithful, whom Christ has brought through death to behold your face in glory, who join with us in worship, prayer, and service. For your full, perfect, and sufficient gift of life in Christ, all praise and thanks be given to you, forever and ever. Amen. Eternal God, in your wisdom and grace you have given us joy through the lives of those who have gone before us. And we thank you for Sylvia and for our memories of her. We praise you for your goodness and mercy that followed her all the days of her life, and for her faithfulness in the tasks to which you called her. We thank you that for Sylvia, the tribulations of this world are over and death is past. We pray that you will bring us with her to the joy of your perfect kingdom. Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously with those who mourn, that they may cast every care on you and know the consolation of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we sing our final hymn, which expresses the Christian hope that death is not a final farewell, but just a parting for a time. Let us sing together. God be with you till we meet again. Thank you. And you may be seated.
The family have asked me to say a word of thanks on their behalf. They have received a great deal of help in the last few days, and so they would in particular like to thank the Dean of the Vestry for the use of the cathedral. Sylvie was a true Methodist, but she had a lifelong involvement with the Church of Ireland and with many of its activities. And as has already been said, she was a friend of this cathedral for close on 25 years. And so she would feel very at home in this cathedral church today. So the family would like to thank you, Mr. Dean, not just for the use of the cathedral, but for your presence last night and today, which means a very great deal to them, as does the presence of the Reverend Elaine Murray. Two key people in Sylvia's life were her GPs, Dr. Mary O'Gorman and Dr. Gerard Lynch of the Kilkenny Medical Centre. And the family would like to thank them and to acknowledge the part that they played in looking after her, and to thank them not just for what they did, but for the way in which they did it. In the early hours of Sunday morning, when Sylvia became ill, it was thanks to the telecom emergency response system that Edwin and Joy were alerted so quickly. It was then Care Doc, the ambulance crew, and the staff in accident and emergency in St. Luke's Hospital who tended her. And the family want to especially thank each of them. In those last hours, the spiritual support and care was provided for Sylvie and the family by the Methodist minister, the Reverend Mark Forsyth. And the family want to express to you, Mark, their gratitude for your pastoral care and concern over these days and for leading this service today as well as last night. They want also to thank Mrs. Colleen Harper for playing the piano during this service today. As her eyesight began to diminish in later years, Sylvia, as has already been said, became involved with the National Council for the Blind. She was, as you know, a great participator, and so she went on their outings and indeed did go to meet President McAleese at Arrison Uachtaráin. And so the family want to thank the council for their encouragement and their support over the years. To all those who came last night and to all of you who have come today to support them, the family want to say how much it means to them and to thank each and every one. Sylvia touched the lives of a great many people. She kept in touch, not just by phone, but by being out and about, and by meeting and talking to all sorts of people on all sorts of occasions. And in turn, people kept in touch with her, a great many people. People like Jim Larkin, who, when delivering the mail, would ring the doorbell and exchange the news of the day. Sylvia had an immense interest in people, in all people, and especially in the people that she met. And you know, she knew her own mind, and she had her own views, but she was remarkably tolerant and accepting of people as they were. And in addition to that, she had that rare gift of being a great encourager. Methodists are urged to be the friends of all and the enemies of none. And you know, it's a description that fits her well. And it was for me, as it was for so many, a great privilege to call her my friend. And the sense of loss that is now felt by each of her lovely family, of whom she was so proud, is shared today by a very wide circle of people in this city and county and beyond. We shall miss her greatly.
Will the congregation please stand for the commendation?